Hi there, and welcome to the COSI Talks podcast. My name is COSI Belloso. I'm a physical therapist with over 23 years experience, and my passion is working with the amputee and limb loss community. My mission with COSI Talks is to educate, inform, and empower amputees, their clinicians, family members, and caregivers. Now, along with being a physical therapist, I'm also a wife and a mother to four beautiful children, and I'm a recent breast cancer survivor. So while I'm not an amputee and I don't know what it's like to lose a limb, I do know what it means to have my world turned upside down from one day to the next and to have to go through the recovery and healing process. And I want to help you on your journey. So let's get comfortable. Be sure to grab your favorite drink and have a listen. Ooh, don't forget, please follow this podcast and leave a 5-star review and thumbs up. And if you have any questions or overly flattering comments, drop them below. Welcome to the official first COSI Talks podcast. I am so excited to be finally launching this podcast. So many of you have been asking me this for years now. And it's going to be a mixture of things. I'm going to be uploading my live Wednesday night shows to the podcast. So those of you who aren't able to watch me live, you can hopefully listen in on me on the way to work or something like that. And then I'm also going to be doing other separate shows like the one we're doing right now on just different topics that you've asked me about over the years. So today's topic that I'm going to do is classifications of prosthetic feet, right? This is probably my number one show. I've done at least 4 or 5 of these kind of shows on just the different classifications of prosthetic feet. And I mean, I've gotten upwards of 47,000 views on just one of these shows. And it's kind of not hard to see why. You know, there's hundreds of prosthetic feet out there on the market, and it's really hard to just choose one and to know where to begin. You know, I did put out a nice blog about this as well. So, oh, by the way, that is my shameless plug for my new blog. If you guys just want a really in-detail description of everything I'm talking about today, go to my website, www.cositalks.com, and you can read the full blog with links that help you understand things more. Okay, so back to classifications of prosthetic feet. When I was first a therapist, and this was, you know, 23 years ago, we only had like a couple of feet available on the market. It wasn't a whole lot. But as new feet started coming out, right, we had to kind of, as therapists and prosthetists, come up with a classification system to kind of keep it straight in our heads. And my mentor, Curtis Clark, he's the one who taught me everything I know about amputees. He helped me classify the feet by their function. Okay. And what I mean by function is, what is this particular prosthetic foot meant to do, right? So if you go to any website that sells prosthetic feet, and we have lots of manufacturers out there on the market, we have College Park and Proteor and Ottobock and Oser and Fillauer, and I know I'm missing a whole bunch more, right? You're going to see some really, you know, fancy smancy names, right? So some, they might name their feet the Maverick or the Odyssey or the Triton, all these really cool, powerful sounding names, which, don't get me wrong, I love these names. They're really cool, and props to the marketing folks who came up with these names. But unfortunately, it really doesn't tell you much about the foot, right? Because you're looking at that going, well, what does this foot do for me? And how is it different from the other foot, right? So I'm going to share with you today the classification list. And right now I have 10 different classifications of feet. Guys, when I first started doing the show, 6 years ago, I only had like 6 classifications of feet. So as you can tell, technology is just continuing to boom and boom and boom. Now, here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to learn these classifications. I want you to learn what it is that these different prosthetic feet do, so that when you talk to your prosthetist, when you talk to your physical therapist about choosing a new foot, you're talking from a perspective of function. And guys, there's another blog, another podcast coming out that where I dive more into the specifics on how to choose the best prosthetic foot for you. And we're going to get to that later. But this is the first step, right? It's learning the vocabulary. It's learning about what is out there and what is available for you. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started with this list. With the first one, and guys, I even have my own cheat sheet list right here. First foot is the SACH foot, S-A-C-H, and it stands for solid ankle cushion heel, right? And I call this like the OG, the original gangsta. Yeah, I know I sound really cheesy saying that, of the prosthetic feet, right? This is the wooden foot, right? It has like a neoprene urethane shell around a wooden heel. And then there's a rubber heel at the bottom, and it helps to simulate plantar flexion, meaning when your toes move down, right? So the way this foot gives you movement is when you put weight into it, it kind of bends around where the wood and the rubber meet together. Okay. So it's a very, very simple foot. Okay. Like I said, this is one of the oldest feet that's been on the market. It's a very inexpensive foot to be made. It provides a lot of great stability for my lower end users. Okay. Specifically when the person is in mid stance. Okay. So meaning when the person is putting their full weight into the socket, this little SACH foot can really give a lot of stability in that area. Okay. So here are some of the advantages. Let's just do advantages, disadvantages, and who is it for? The advantages are it's inexpensive. It is a durable foot. Like I said before, it is stable during mid stance when all the body weight is going through the prosthesis. And I think it's a great option for a secondary foot for the pool or the beach or a shower if you don't want to use your normal daily walking foot. Some of the disadvantages. It doesn't have a whole lot of shock absorption. In fact, pretty much no shock absorption. There's not really any ability to customize this foot to a patient's needs. There's really, I mean, what you see is what you get with this foot, and that's it. It is not a good option for folks who are very active. And it has, for the most part, most of them have a very rigid keel. Some of them have a little bit of a more flexible keel, but for the most part, it's a very rigid keel. So there's not a whole lot of give. Who is this foot meant for? It's meant for lower activity individuals, okay? So perhaps it's someone who is mainly wheelchair bound or perhaps even bed bound, and they use their prosthetic leg just to transfer from one place to the other. Or they're just doing very simple household ambulation, getting to the kitchen, getting to the bathroom, okay? And that's about it. That is our little SACH foot. I like to call it the little foot that could, right? All right, let's move on to the next one. All right, next is our single axis foot. And this is another one of those OG original gangsta feet, right? This is one step ahead, bad pun intended, of the SACH foot. And like the name indicates, it has a single axis and it's going to allow for dorsiflexion and plantar flexion, meaning moving your foot up or down. This is also a very simple foot and it's typically for lower level mobility folks. One of the advantages that, again, it offers that nice knee stability, to, especially to my above the knee amputees, much like the SACH foot. And they have like little rubber bumpers inside the foot that give you that cushion and will determine how much movement it's going to allow you to do. Okay. So some of the advantages of the single axis foot. It is durable and pretty decently waterproof. As I mentioned, good stability for my above the knee amputees when you're in stance, when you're standing into that socket. It provides a little bit better stability on uneven terrain compared to the SACH foot and better function. You are able to modify the heel height and customize that just a bit. And again, it's another great option for a pool or a beach as a secondary foot. Okay. Some of the disadvantages, it's considered to be a heavy foot. So, you know, considering that you're getting a little bit more function, you're still kind of dealing with kind of a heavy foot, right? And the movement is limited to dorsiflexion and plantar flexion, toes up, toes down. And it's very limited in customization when you compare it to the multi-axial and dynamic response type feet. Now, who is the single axis foot made for? Okay. Again, lower to moderate activity individuals, more on the low end, basically people who need that stability, but they are looking for just a little bit more movement when compared to the SACH foot. All right. Okay. We good so far? Whew. All right. So next foot we're going to talk about, classification number three, is the multi-axial foot. And this is where I like to say we're getting a little more fancy. This foot basically gives you movement in the plantar flexion and dorsiflexion and inversion and eversion and a little bit of rotation depending on the manufacturer. Okay, so this foot is going to give you a lot more mobility compared to the satch foot and compared to the single access foot, okay, which can give you just a little bit more stability, again, when compared to the other 2 feet, right? Now, keep in mind, the movement that you get with this foot and also with the satch foot and the single access foot, it's not because the foot is moving on its own, right? You get the movement by putting your weight into it and pushing your body weight down. Sometimes folks who are new to the world of amputee and prosthetics, they think it's like a robot foot that moves up and down. And there is one foot like that out there in the market, but it's not, you know, it's a computerized foot. And that's something we'll talk about in just a few minutes, right? Now, with this increase in available motion, you're going to get a little bit better absorption of stress, not too much, but just a little bit. And in turn, it helps cut down on the wear and tear of your skin, which if y'all have been listening to my show, you know how protective I am about the skin of your residual limb and making sure it stays intact and nice and healthy. Okay. So while the satch foot and the single axis foot are meant to give you really sturdy, stable foundation, right? The multi-axial foot is kind of designed for folks who want more movement, and they also have the balance and the coordination to be able to handle that movement, okay? And that's a really, really important thing to think about, guys. And this goes for when you are looking at the higher tech feet. Sometimes folks really want the high tech foot with all the bells and whistles and the shiny new foot and everything like that. And what you have to remember is you have to choose the foot, okay, that accommodates to your mobility level. Okay. So if you get someone who's a really low level mobility and you give them this, like I said, fancy schmancy high end multi-axial foot, they're going to not do well. They are not going to be stable. They're going to be falling down all over the place. Okay. They will actually be more mobile, more safe, more independent with a satch foot or a single access foot. Yes. We're good. Capiche? Okay. Let's move on. All right. So after the multi-axial foot, okay, and this is where I want y'all to pay real close attention. We have the dynamic response foot and the energy storing response foot. Sometimes it's called energy storing and return foot. It's going to have like the ESAR like little acronym. Okay. Now, the reason why I want you to really pay close attention here is because a lot of folks, myself included, will use the terms dynamic response and energy storing interchangeably, right? And there's a reason for that. But they are actually two different kinds of feet. Okay. So let's talk about the dynamic response foot. And I'm like, we're cooking with grease here when we get to the dynamic response feet. It's typically made from some flavor of carbon fiber material, and it's going to deform under a load. So what does that mean? When you're putting your weight into the foot, it's going to deform, and then it's going to reform, for lack of a better word, when you push off and your weight comes off. So that's kind of where that energy comes from there. It's not really energy. It's just that it's returning to its former form. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's kind of like when you're like a kid and you have those foam toys and you push your thumb into the foam and the foam fits to your thumb. But then the minute you take your thumb out, the foam fills in again. That's kind of how a dynamic response foot works. Now, the energy storing foot, right, in comparison, that one does store the energy. So when you're putting your weight into the keel of that energy storing foot, it is absorbing that potential energy. Y'all remember those physics, that high school physics lesson? I love physics. I'm such a physics nerd, right? So it's absorbing that energy. And then when you push off the foot, that's where you get that energy back in the form of kinetic energy. Okay. So the energy storing and response foot is a true energy storing and response foot. Dynamic response, if you kind of think about it, it's in the name. It's responding to the dynamic of the foot itself, loading and unloading. Okay, guys, don't feel bad. You may have to listen to this a couple of times. It took me a minute to kind of wrap my head around it. And I remember years ago when I was still kind of learning all the different feet, and I had a prosthetist who just kind of stopped me in my tracks and he said, look, these are two different feet. You keep using them as the same thing, but they're two different kinds of feet. And it took me a minute to kind of wrap my head around the subtle difference. Now, they're the same in the sense that they are giving you some flavor of energy. It's how they deliver the energy. That's what's different about the design of these feet. Okay. Now, the cool thing is even though they're kind of technically different feet, they serve a very common population, right? So some of the advantages of dynamic response and energy storing is that they are lightweight, approximately similar to the multi-axial feet, which is great considering they have all this great stuff that goes on in there, right? They do have better shock absorption, okay? This is a good foot for uneven terrain because it's going to adapt well to the changes of the terrain, right? Very sturdy feet. Many of these feet are going to come with like a split toe option. It almost looks like a little, like a toe meant for a flip flop. And this kind of gives you a little bit more of that inversion, eversion movement, the side to side movement of your foot and ankle. Now, some of the disadvantages of the dynamic response feet and the energy storing feet is that they are more expensive. It's a more hoopy scoopy foot, as my team would like to say, right? There is, and because it's a more active foot meant for a more active individual, you have to be able to really activate it to use it, right? So just think of the pogo stick, right? When you used to jump on that pogo stick when you were a kid, if you didn't weigh enough as a kid, and that was never a problem for me, right? But if you didn't weigh enough as a kid and you didn't know how to put your weight into that pogo stick, it wouldn't bounce and you'd fall over, right? So it's kind of similar with these dynamic response feet and energy storing feet. If you're not able to really put your weight into it and activate it, you're not going to get the benefits of that energy. Okay, so that kind of brings us to who are these feet best suited, right? It's for our moderately active to very active individuals. Okay, so these are our folks that are really go-getters. They're really efficient with their mobility, right? They're very active in the community. They're very active perhaps in their job requirements as well. Okay, oh, that's a lot of feet. All right, let's just do, because for me, I always say repetition is the mother of memory. So let's just do a quick recap because we're kind of halfway through that list. The first foot and the nicest simple foot and the little foot that could, it's called the satch foot. Satch foot. Getting tongue-tied here. Second classification, single axis foot. Then we have multi-axial foot. And then we have the dynamic response foot and the energy storing and return, or energy storing and response foot, depending on where you're reading it. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about the hydraulic foot. Okay. As the name suggests, the hydraulic foot has a hydraulic component in there, which helps passively control the plantar flexion and the dorsiflexion, right? So it absorbs the energy and it's then dissipated as heat inside the hydraulic fluid. I told you guys I'm a total physics nerd here, right? The hydraulic unit, because of this, it really allows, like my patients and my viewers who use hydraulic feet, they really say that they feel more contact, that they're more connected to the ground, and it makes it a very nice, stable foot, and it just takes that stability to another level, okay? And as a bonus, and so depending on, you know, I've read some studies where it shows that it does help decrease socket pressure, right? Especially my below-the-knee amputees, which is really nice for those of you who want to protect your skin. It should be all. Okay. So the hydraulic foot, you know, let me talk first about the advantages and disadvantages and who is it for. The advantages are, is that it gives you a more connected feeling to the ground when walking, right? I would say that of all the different classifications of feet out there, this is the one where when someone uses a hydraulic foot, they, especially if it's a microprocessor hydraulic foot, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, they feel like this is the most natural feeling foot. Okay. It makes it easier to negotiate ramps and slopes. It allows for a much more smooth rollover, meaning when you're putting your weight into your foot and you're pushing off with your heel and toe, it just is a much more smooth motion and feeling. And it's not like a dead space feeling. And that's something that like folks who've used a dynamic response foot or energy storing foot, they almost feel like there's like a split second of a dead space there in that rollover that in the hydraulic foot, you do not experience, right? And like I said, there's less wear and tear on the skin and the residual limb. Disadvantages, it's generally a heavier foot. Why? Because you got a hydraulic component in there, right? So your prosthetist has to be majorly on his or her game with fitting you with a perfect socket. And y'all know I'm all about the perfect fitting socket and making sure the suspension is spot on. Okay. You can have a very heavy foot, a heavy knee. But if your socket fit is good and your suspension is good, it is not going to feel heavy at all. Okay, and the opposite goes as well. If it's not a good fitting socket or you don't have good suspension, it's gonna feel like you're dragging around dead weight. All right, so who is the hydraulic foot for? Okay, it's meant to be for moderately active to active individuals and folks who need to negotiate uneven terrain. So folks who are perhaps contractors, folks who are on a playground all day chasing after little kids, my hunters, there's a lot of hunting here in Florida. And I've had several of my patients who like to go hunting and they have to be able to climb a deer stand and climb over, you know, rough terrain, and they love this foot. Here's what's super interesting about this foot. And again, this is just me over the years, 23 years experience, no fancy research study. I feel like I have the widest demographic of people using the hydraulic foot. And here's what I mean by that. Like if I have someone who's, you know, a super high level activity patient, you know, the first thing that'll probably come to my mind is dynamic response or energy storing. And then on the flip side, I have someone who's not super low level, but they're just kind of bridging the gap between the K2, K3. They're not as active, but both of them will like the hydraulic foot. So let me go back to the example of that hunter that I was treating. He was a former military veteran. You know, he was an airborne, so he was jumping out of good airplanes. This guy was super active. And even though he was a retired veteran, he was in great shape, right? He was walking really well and he was ready for a new foot. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I think he could really use a dynamic response energy storing foot. But something tickled the back of my brain and said, make him try a hydraulic foot as well. So he trialed a dynamic response foot, and I can't remember which one he tried, and he also trialed the hydraulic foot. And to my surprise, and his as well, he loved the hydraulic foot. He really loved it. And in his case, he did end up getting the microprocessor version, but he really just liked the feel of the hydraulic foot, and he didn't feel like it lowered, it didn't inhibit his high activity level. Right? So it's just kind of interesting. Usually I just try to throw in the hydraulic foot just to see with some folks, like, how do you like it? Right? So just keep an open mind for this. Okay, we got to move on. All right. Next is my own personal classification, right? And I get a little bit of flack from this classification, but I also get some people who are just like, yeah, totally makes sense, Cosi, that you thought of this classification. I call it the hybrid foot, right? And I came up with this classification probably a few years back when we started seeing feet on the market that were exactly that. They were hybrid feet, okay? Meaning that they weren't just a purely multi-axial foot. They weren't just a purely dynamic response foot. It was a foot that had a little bit of both, a little bit of both. And it's funny, when I talk to some of my prosthetist friends and I'm going through, you know, if I'm talking to a particular manufacturer company and I talk to the prosthetist who works with that company and I'll ask them, hey, this particular foot that my patient's looking at, what classification does it fall into, right? And they might kind of be hesitant and they'll be like, well, it doesn't really fall into multi-axial. Well, even though it has a multi-axial component, it doesn't really fall into dynamic response foot. Even I go, okay, it's a hybrid foot. It's got a little bit of both worlds, right? Makes sense, right, guys? Now, again, here's a warning. If you go to your prosthetist and say, hey, Cosi thinks I should try a hybrid foot, or I want to try, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Cause like I said, it's a classification that I made up, a little classification system I made up. This is something that you want to consider if you're realizing that you like the idea of a dynamic response foot and you like the idea of a multi-axial foot, right? So this is where in the conversation with your prosthetist, you will tell him or her that you want to find a foot that has both characteristics. And there's a lot of feet on the market now that fit into this. And it's kind of the best of both worlds, right? So let's talk a little bit about the advantages and disadvantages of this. Okay, advantages. It's a great foot for those of you, like I said, who want the best of both worlds. You get a little multi-axial and you get a little bit of dynamic response or energy storing capabilities, which is then going to give you more freedom of movement and stability. Now, disadvantages. Once again, it may be too much of a good thing for folks with lower activity levels, right? More movement and more hoopy scoopy things may not necessarily be good for someone who is struggling with balance and stability. All right. So who is it for? The active individual who wants a lot of movement and a lot of energy return. All right. Now, I call this next classification kind of the diva princess of the prosthetic foot classifications. It's the microprocessor foot. Okay. Now, what y'all need to understand is when you're talking about microprocessor, whether it's a foot or a knee, it just means there's a computer in there. Okay. At the base of a microprocessor foot, for many of them out there on the market, it's actually a hydraulic foot, right? And the microprocessor unit has sensors in the foot that help kind of detect the environment around you, and it will adjust the friction in the hydraulic fluid, right? Now, there are microprocessor feet coming out on the market that have multi-axial capability, that I think even has a dynamic response capability. And there's one foot that I know for sure is a propulsion foot, meaning it moves on its own, like a robot. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. It's a robot foot, okay? My point is, if you are looking at a microprocessor foot, find out what's at the base of that foot. Is it originally a hydraulic foot? Is it originally a multi-axial? Is it a propulsion foot? Because again, this will tell you what the function of the foot is to see if it's really going to be suited for your lifestyle. Capiche? Thumbs up? Yes? Okay. Now, another friendly warning, because I got a whole bunch of those scattered throughout here. Many of my patients and viewers have had life-changing, I mean, we're talking quality of life-changing experiences when they have switched over to a microprocessor foot, okay? But you need to truly understand, when you're using a microprocessor foot, it is a computer system, okay? That means it is going to be more expensive. It is going to be more heavy. It is going to be more delicate. You can't go tromping around everywhere and doing high-impact activities, right? On a microprocessor foot. The knee, the microprocessor knees out there, you can kind of do more higher level activities. But with the microprocessor feet out there right now, you know, this is not for someone who's jumping around. This is not for someone who's really doing some serious rock climbing and hiking and just heavy impact activities, because you have a very expensive computer sitting inside of that foot. So this is just something you just need to take into consideration. So for example, going back to my hunter really liked the feel of the hydraulic foot, but he realized that if he had a microprocessor hydraulic foot, he was gonna tear that thing up when he goes hunting and when he goes on his boat, right? With all the water and everything like that. So he opted for the hydraulic foot without the microprocessor component. And I hope this is making sense, right? So let's talk about a little bit advantages, disadvantages, and who is this for, okay? So with my microprocessor foot, the advantages is it is much more energy efficient and not as tiring to walk for the user. So a lot like those of you who are above the knee amputees who use a microprocessor knee, and it's just easier and less taxing on you, right? Disadvantages, it's expensive, but I always say, don't let this be the reason why you don't get your foot. If you have determined, you and your prosthetist and your physical therapist have determined that you're gonna rock your life using a microprocessor foot, figure out how to get that thing paid, okay? Go to your insurance, have your prosthetist write letters of medical necessity, have your PT, your doctor write these letters of medical necessity, okay? Get it for yourself, right? It is not meant for high impact activities. And we mentioned that mainly a lot of them are not waterproof, and it is a heavy foot. So once again, much like the hydraulic foot, your prosthetist needs to be like major expert on fitting your socket and making sure that your suspension is on point. Okay. All right, let's move on to the running blade. Oh, I love running blades. Running blades is where I just kind of light up, because I'm a runner girl. I love to run. I love teaching my amputee patients how to run if they're candidates, and it's just a joy for me, right? So I do have a caveat when it comes to running blades, and this is because we're seeing a big boom in running blades in our industry right now. So I do have to, you know, put in my little PT soapbox disclaimer here. Do I think running is for everybody? No. And I mean this for folks who have two anatomical legs and folks who are amputees, okay? Running is really hard on the body. You are putting 8 to 10 times your body weight into your joints when you run, depending on the literature you look at. But basically, it's a whole lot more body weight that you're putting into your joints, right? those of us who are runners, we know this. And we know that if we don't keep up with our strengthening, our mobility drills, careful training schedules, we're going to run into some very serious injuries. And as you guys can imagine, someone with two anatomical legs can get real sidelined with an injury. Someone who only has one anatomical leg, if something goes wrong with running there, they're really up a creek without a paddle. So I always feel like I have to put that disclaimer out there. Now, do I think that amputees, most amputees who can walk with their prosthesis should know the basics of running? Yes, I think they should know some of the basic skills and mechanics of running, okay? And this is for emergency purposes, right? You're getting across a busy sidewalk and that light is about to turn green and you're gonna get run over. So yeah, you need to know how to quicken your pace a little bit. Your child runs out into the street. Yeah, you need to know how to take off after them. There's a tiger running after you. I don't know, invent your emergency, you know, to know how to quickly move from point A to point B, okay? Now, for those of you who are candidates of running, here's my other piece of unsolicited advice. You know, I got a lot of those pieces, right? Check with your prosthetist and your physical therapist. Okay, first question to ask your prosthetist is, can I learn to run on my current daily walking foot? Okay, clear this with your prosthetist first. And I'll give you an example, and I put this in my blog. One of my favorite running buddies, his name is Damon. He's the male below the knee amputee model in my Strong Body program. He and I started working together to teach him how to run and get him back into running. And fortunately, his daily walking foot, it was a dynamic response foot. So his prosthetist said, and the particular foot, the prosthetist gave me clearance to teach him the basics of running, okay, on that foot, and that the foot would not break, right? We didn't do anything crazy. We just did the basics of running. Once Damon was able to develop his running mechanics, his gait mechanics, and his rhythm, then he went and looked and trialed a couple of different running blades, okay? So if he had just tried a couple of different blades before learning how to run, he would not have been able to appreciate the subtle differences between some of these running blades, right? And much like your walking feet, your running blades are all going to feel a little bit different, and they're going to be unique to every individual as far as what works for them. Okay. And guys, running blades are expensive. Unfortunately, insurance is not covering them yet. We do have some legislature and some movers and shakers in the amputee community that are trying to change this, and it's going to happen in the future. But, you know, it's still considered to be a luxury and an investment, right? So if you're going to invest in a running foot, you better darn well know which one is going to work best for you. Now, if your prosthetist tells you, nope, sorry, I don't want you running on your current walking and daily foot, then you're going to have to start learning on a running blade and trial them out that way and work something else out, okay? So let's talk a little bit real quick about the advantages and disadvantages. So advantages, right? The running blade is exactly that. It was designed to allow for smooth running mechanics, right? It allows for improved shock absorption and energy return during the running gait, right? And you are not going to get the same feeling from any foot that was meant for walking. So going back to the example with Damon, like I said, with Damon, we were able to kind of use it for just gentle jogging and running for maybe about a mile. And we worked his way up to a mile, but you know, he definitely felt a difference when he put that running blade on. It was just so much easier for him to run, and it felt better. And another advantage, in my personal opinion, is I think it looks really cool. I just love the look of a running blade. Some of the disadvantages, again, it is pricey. It's a financial commitment. The running blade is not meant for daily walking, okay? So the same way that your walking foot is really not meant to go for running for any serious amount of time, your running blade is not meant to go walking for a serious amount of time. And again, think about that pogo stick mentality, right? If you're not putting your body weight into that running blade and collapsing it and compressing it, like really putting into it, it's not going to compress, right? So it's going to be like a thunk when you try to walk on it. And a lot of my runners, they'll feel that, like they just use their running blade to get to and from the car to wherever they're running, but then they switch back to their walking foot. Okay. Folks who sometimes try to push it a little too far might notice a little bit of back pain. Okay. And then the other thing, and this brings me to my next point, is your alignment on a running blade and a running socket is going to be different than the alignment on your walking foot, Okay. So this is another kind of disadvantage in the sense that if you are committing to getting a running blade, you're most likely 90% of the time, you're going to have to make a socket specifically for your running foot. Okay. And guys, I encourage this. I know it's an extra expense. I know it's an extra investment, but it's what you need to do to fit yourself well, to prepare yourself, to prevent injuries down the line, right? You either do it right or you don't do it all. That's kind of my opinion on things, right? So that is another kind of slight disadvantage of these running blades is you really do need to build a socket just meant for that. And it needs to be aligned for that. And you need to find a prosthetist who is skilled at aligning a running prosthesis. There's not a whole lot of them out there, guys. Okay. And this is something I'm learning myself. I do have one or two prosthetists in my area that are very good at aligning running prosthetic devices, but it is different. It is different than aligning a walking prosthesis, and you need a prosthetist who knows what they're doing in that regard, right? Okay. So did we go through everything? Nope. We got one more. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I almost forgot this last one. The last one, and this is kind of one of my personal favorite because I think this is like the unsung hero of prosthetic feet and classifications. It's the stubby feet, right? The stubby foot. This foot, you know, for those of you who haven't seen a stubby foot, it looks like a little rectangular block. And it's not very big. It's probably the size of my hand, right? I don't have very big hands. But it's a little rectangular block, right? And it'll have tire tread on the bottom. And basically, you can attach this little rectangular block, this little stubby foot, to the end of a socket, okay? And when I mean the end of a socket, I mean like right on the end of it without having to use that pylon, that metal thing that, connects your socket to your foot. And those of you who are not familiar with this, you're probably going, well, why in the world would you put a foot like that directly under a socket? Okay. So the stubby foot is really used a lot for my bilateral above the knee amputees, right? So those of you who are amputees, especially my unilaterals, you know, you remember how challenging it is to put a leg on for the first time to walk. So you can only imagine how much more challenging it is when you're putting two legs on and you're having to negotiate two prosthetic knees and two prosthetic feet. Okay. So this is where the stubby is a real game changer, right? The stubby, you put it directly under the socket and the person can basically just start walking on their sockets. They're much, much lower to the ground, which gives them a lot more confidence to learn how to walk. They can start building up their strength and endurance because they're closer to the ground, right? Until they are strong enough and confident enough to go to full length prosthetic devices, right? Now, a lot of my bilateral above the knee amputees will continue to use their stubby sockets. They call them stubby sockets, but it's actually the foot that they're referring to. They'll use them just to kind of get around their house because it's just easier and quicker. I know one of my favorite bilateral AKs, his name's Jeffrey Cook. He uses his to push his lawnmower in his yard because it's just easier for him to do that on stubbies compared to full length prosthetic devices. Now, is the stubby only for bilateral above the knee amputees? No. I actually really love using the stubby foot for my unilateral amputees for activities such as rock climbing. Okay. And I learned this from my buddy, Ronnie Dixon. He's an amazing prosthetist and he at one point was the number two world rock climber and he's an above the knee amputee. Right. And he and I were doing a rock climbing amputee class together. And he was just popping this little goat foot, this little stubby foot underneath some of the sockets of the unilateral. And it's a great advantage because it's a much smaller foot. So it fits onto the little ledges and rock climbing much easier. It's also a great option if you are looking for a beach foot or a pool foot. Right? Or a shower foot. And I already mentioned earlier in the podcast that the satch foot and the single axis foot are also great options, but the multi-axial, especially my particular favorite, and y'all have noticed I haven't mentioned any manufacturers in this video and in this podcast, but I'm going to break the fourth wall now and mention my favorite stubby's foot, which is the Sidekick Stubby Foot by College Park Industries. I love this stubby foot because not only is it just like a really nice, thick, stubby foot with some good tread on it, it's multi-axial. Ta-da, right? So we should probably classify that one as a hybrid, right? Because it's got the stubby and the multi-axial component all together, okay? But I really love the multi-axial Sidekick stubby foot because again, great for the beach, great for the pool, lower cost foot, okay? And I'm in Florida, y'all, so everybody here wants to get to the beach and pool and we do it all year round. All right, so one more time for the folks in the back. We're going to talk through all the 10 classifications. We have the satch foot, the single axis foot, the multi-axial foot, the dynamic response foot, the energy storing and return foot, the hydraulic foot, the hybrid foot. Remember, that's the one I made up. The microprocessor foot, running blades, and stubby feet. Proud of myself, I did all of that in one take. Okay, so guys, if your head is still spinning right now by all the information I just threw at you, it's okay. It's not you. It's the market of prosthetic feet. There's a lot out there. So I have two suggestions. You can kind of listen to this podcast again, or you can go to my website and I will put the links below the podcast or whatever it is I'm doing right now to my website where I have the blog. And in the blog, I have it all nice and written out with the advantages, disadvantages, all that kind of good stuff, and all the links that will help you understand this even better. And to take it a step further, pun intended, I created what are called cheat sheets. Okay. So it's like a two-page, I hope I got it down to two pages. It's just like a two-page quick reference sheet that you can take with you to your prosthetist or physical therapist appointment. And it just kind of is a reminder of all the classifications of feet that you can reference as you're talking to your clinical team. So you don't have to go and memorize everything, right? Because who's got time for that? All right, guys, that is the end. Holy cow, it's the end of my first podcast. Thank you guys again. Please, 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 please hit like, put in a good review, do whatever it is that you got to do to help me keep this podcast going. And as always, guys, you can find me live every Wednesday night on the Cozy Talks Facebook page, YouTube channel, and now Instagram at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to receive my text alerts, all that kind of good stuff, putting it into the captions below. All right, guys, have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me, and God bless.